questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRab English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of tark al-awla, leaving the preferred deed. What is it exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it comes to the concept of isma or infallibility of the prophets and the imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, there are discussions among Shia and Sunni scholars, and there are different viewpoints in this regard. And of course, it doesn't mean that all the Shia scholars or all the Sunni scholars, they also have the same viewpoint among Shias, among Sunnis. Again, we have some differences of ideas. The concept of tark al-awla, or leaving the preferred action or abandoning the better one, is raised when people talk about the concept of infallibility. Because in the Noble Book of Quran, there are some verses talking about some of the prophets, peace be upon them, which some people consider as an act of disobedience or sin, for example.
Yes.
For example, we have Prophet Adam alayhi salam, who ate from that forbidden tree, for example. Or we have Prophet Musa alayhi salam killing that person from the people of Fir'aun, for example. And Prophet Yunus alayhi salam leaving his people and the punishment that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. And in that big whale, he considered himself as a person who has committed a zulm or disobedience. Now, the question in all these cases is whether these prophets, they have committed sins or not. And the same has been mentioned about some of the deeds of the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But mainly the question is about these verses, because we are talking about the Noble Book of Quran and some words which are used by these prophets. Now, the concept of tark al-awla is mentioned here. It means that according to Shia understanding, these prophets or the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they never commit any kind of sin before and after their prophethood or imamate. But what they have done is leaving the preferred one, or tark al-awla. If I may give you an example.
So, how is the mechanism? How do we understand that they have left? Is it, for example, in their wordings or in their life, they ask for the forgiveness of Allah or did istighfar or tawbah, and then we can understand that they did tark al-awla, or what?
The concept of istighfar, or asking for forgiveness, yes, has another explanation. If I have time, I may come to it. But the point is that there are some rational arguments which prove the infallibility of the prophets and the imams.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some verses in the Quran, like the, أَتِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ,
yes,
means that you need to worship the prophet and the imam of the Ahlul Bayt. Now the question is that, is it possible for them to commit sins and make mistakes? If this is the case, then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to obey the Prophet and Ulul Amr without any condition? So this is, for example, one of the verses which prove the infallibility of the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Or Ayatul Tathir, chapter 33, verse 33. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. They are purified from any kind of sin. And there are many narrations in this regard. The point is that when we have all these strong proofs from the verses, from the narrations, and rational arguments, then if there is anything against them, we come to this conclusion that in these cases also they have not committed a sin.
Yes.
What they have done is tark al-awla. So what is tark al-awla is all about? If I may give an example, for example, imagine this is the time for noon prayer, and there are two mosques around you. with everything is similar about these two mosques, but the point is that in one of them there are 100 people taking part, and in the other one, 1,001. So if you join the bigger congregational prayer, you will have more reward. So in this case, if you go to the mosque with 100 people, still you have done a good action, but with less reward. But this is considered as an act of tark al-awla, because it was better for you to go to the mosque with a bigger population, but you have chosen to go to the mosque with the less people.
This is not a sin.
Okay. You just have abandoned the preferred action.
Sorry, this is not a mistake too.
This is not a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is, having said that, this is a very big difference between committing a sin and tark al-awla, because in committing a sin, for sure, you need to be punished. But for tark al-awla, let me give another example. And this is also explains why the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the Prophet, they ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their supplications. And this is also understood based on different reasons. One of them is tark al-awla. For example, imagine that, people are asked for giving charity. Now, you have a worker who earns every day, for example, $10. And today he gives $5 in charity. For sure, his act is admired by all the people. Now, imagine a merchant, for example, every day he earns $1,000. And he gives the same $5. Okay?
Yes.
So can we admire the same person? Of course not. I mean, the first person who gave $5, he was admired because he gave half of his property. But the second one who gives the same amount of money, what he has earned is so much more. So it means that from a person like a merchant, we expect much more. Okay,
yes.
So
okay.
If he wants to be admired, he is in need of giving, for example, 100 or 500
yes.
in charity.
Okay.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Now the point is that when we are talking about the Imams of the Ahl Bayt, the Prophets, they are the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us, fallible human beings, if we do not commit any sin, it is the ideal form of life. Meaning that if we be away from backbiting, stealing, not taking care of the rights of the people, and so on and so forth, this is the ideal form of life.
Mm-hmm.
But for people like prophets and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this is guaranteed that they are not committing the sins that we as fallible human beings may commit.
Yes.
But if, imagine the examples of the merchant and the worker, for example, if an infallible imam just not pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a second,
yes.
for doing a mubah action or for any other actions, for himself, he considers it as an act of sin. Although for us, he's not an act of sin. But for his level of spirituality before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his great rank, even if he does not pay attention or does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just for a second,
yes.
he considers that as an act of disobedience. And this is one of the reasons that Imam Ali alayhi salam, the famous dua supplication of Kumail, he's talking about the concept of dhunub. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati. Oh Allah, please forgive me my sins. One understanding is that Imam is teaching us how to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam is not talking about himself. But the better understanding is that no, for Imam, the concept of dhunub is different from us. For us, backbiting is a sin. Imam alayhi salam is for sure far away from committing such sins. For him, he considers other acts as the dhunub, the sins. And he's asking for forgiveness for those acts, which we call them tark al-awla.
Maybe the most tiniest thing that we even do not consider in our life might be considered as a sin in the eyes of an infallible. That's right, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that is why when we refer to the verses of the Quran, yes, about some of the acts of the prophets, and in these acts, the prophets also have asked for forgiveness.
Yes.
Does it mean that they have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they committed sins in our understanding? The answer, the famous answer of Shia scholars, is that no. They also left the preferred act. For example, imagine Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. He did everything. He invited his people for many years. None of them none of them paid attention to the call of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. And they were about to be punished, and Yunus alayhi salam left his people. So under a normal situation, what he did is, a rational act. But as a prophet, he was expected even to wait more.
Yes.
Okay? So he considered this act, which, is for sure is not an act of sin in our understanding, but he considers it as a sin because of his great rank, because of his great level before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, he's even punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the famous story of that whale eating him.
That's right.
Or swallowing him. The same is true about Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa alayhi salam is killing one of the people of Fir'aun. And for sure that person was not respected. But it was better for him to delay this act for another time, not to bring any negative consequences. Still, he had not committed any sin. But because of the fact that he has abandoned the preferred action, he is calling himself as a man who has committed a sin.
That's right.
And
does the infallible imams in comparison to the prophets other than Prophet Muhammad have any, supremacy regarding Tark al-Ula? Because it is believed that in one of the cases that makes the infallible imams higher than some of the prophets is this case. They were very much considerate about Tark al-Ula.
When it comes to the comparison between the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and the Prophets, first of all, the first point is that the rank of Imamate is higher than the rank of Prophethood, because Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam reached the rank of Imamate after so many years of being a Prophet and after going through many divine tests and being successful in all those tests. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ imama. Now I'm appointing you as an imam for the people. So before that, he was a prophet for many years. This shows that the rank of imamate is higher than the rank of prophethood. Now, does it mean that the imams of the Ahlul Bayt are higher than all the prophets? Because some people argue that if this is the case, you Shia believe that Imam alayhi salam is higher than the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, because Imamate is higher than prophethood. But the point is that the answer is that some of the prophets also, they had the rank of Imamate as well, like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam,
yes,
like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. So the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt for sure are higher than the prophets who were not Imam,
yes, okay,
which are the most of the prophets, because right, Imamate is higher than the prophethood. But how about the prophets who are Imam? According to the famous idea among the Shia scholars, there is no doubt about the fact that the Holy Prophet is higher than all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, and there is no difference of ideas among Shia scholars. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family is the most complete human being in the history of mankind. No one can be compared to him. But about other prophets like Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Ibrahim and Nuh, who are among the Ulul Azm prophet, again, the famous idea, as you rightly mentioned, is that the rank of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is higher than these prophets as well, but there might be some disputes in this regard.
That's too. Right. So Imams are, we can say, exposed to Tariq al-Ula too, in this way, but the quality will be a little bit different, isn't it? I mean, about the cases, I mean, about the topics of being, whether they leave it or not, it might be different.
There is no, agreement among all Shia scholars in this regard. Many Shia scholars believe that there is no question of Tariq al-Awla in the cases of the Imams of the Ahl al-Bayt. They are away from Tariq al-Awla as well.
They are away. Okay, yeah. That's right. Thank you very much, Shaykh, for a nice elaboration. It was very kind of you. Fruitful discussion. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن